At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Sundays are Giants days.
Hey, Giant fans, welcome to the Giant Insider podcast. My name's Jerry Foley. I'm the senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper, and with me, as always, is the beat writer in the heart of Giants Nation. Nobody beats the biz. Chris Bisignano. Feels good to be back. Lots to talk about. The initial 53, not the final 53. We could talk about the last game of the preseason, the Shane and Dable presser today we'll touch on, the next 10 and the countdown. I will comment that I got nine of the 10 right on the top 10, but we'll get into that later. I'm going to brag a little bit. But first, Chris's tweet or X post, whatever you want to call it. I didn't know this was happening. I think this is awesome. If you are a Giant historian, you got to love this. Chris posts, Malik Nabers will wear number one and receive permission from the family of Giants legend Ray Flaherty. Flaherty's number was the first retired in pro football history. Quite an honor. Absolutely, dude. Quite an honor is right, man. That is awesome.
Unbelievable, right?
Oh, man, that's so cool. I love it.
Jerry, how about the first number retired in pro football history?
It's incredible.
Is that amazing?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
Not Giants history, pro football history.
Unbelievable, dude.
Incredible. And here's Malik Nabers, coming in there and receiving permission, and he wants to wear number one, and he got it. And the Flaherty family, said, yeah, go ahead, knock yourself out and wear it, wear it well, and which we all show that he will. And so it's just quite an that's quite an honor for Malik Nabers, man.
It's an honor. It's a gigantic honor. And even he was humble enough to, the Giants posted his quote. I don't want to misquote it, but the Giants posted his quote on all social media, basically that it's an honor for him. It seems like a kid has his head on straight. And thank you to the Flaherty family for allowing me to wear number one. I understand the responsibility and will do everything in my power to honor the Flaherty family and this organization. I'll wear the number with great pride. Can't wait for the season to start. So, look, Giants have a lot of question marks. That's a real feel-good thing going into the season, dude. I know it's a number, but it's just – I think that stuff's nice. Awesome, dude. Love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I thought it was – we got the text on the way home from the Giants on our phones, and I was like, wow, this is – I'm like, I had to make sure I read. First, I'm driving, and trying to make sure I'm reading it right.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, wait a minute. First number retired in pro football. Wait a minute. Giants history? No, pro football. I'm like, whoa. And I almost had a freaking accident trying to read this damn thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit. So that was pretty quite an honor for Malik. He'll wear number one. He had nine on today at the practice. So everything was done after the practice. He'll have one on from here on out. Malik for hopefully 10 to 15 years in a Giant uniform, right, Jerry? That's the goal.
Yeah, and I think Papa mentioned that on the podcast or on the one of those specials. I forget where he said it, that Flaherty's number was the first one retired. But man, what an honor. It's awesome. And I felt like, I know Gano is nine, but you just felt like even if he could have somehow gotten nine, it just felt like it wasn't going to stick. Like he was changing from nine for whatever reason. So those of you, who wanted to wait on the jersey, good job waiting and not getting it too early. And now number one's a cool jersey to wear too, man. I mean,
you can now go out and get your number one jerseys.
Yeah, there you go.
And I think if he has a big first game, that's going to be one of the top selling jerseys in the league. I'm just getting that feeling, bro.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah. So, yeah, quite an honor for Malik, whose locker is I kind of stashed away in the corner of the locker room.
Yeah, I saw that X post. Yeah.
Jerry, we were actually – today was the first day of the locker room. We're back in the locker room. We're regular season mode. Thank God, by the way. Okay. And we're looking around. You know, Wandell's next to Jalen Hyde, Daniel. And we're looking around. And all of a sudden, I'm like, okay. I'm looking around like, okay, where's Malik's – did Malik make this team? He made the 53, right? You know, and like looking around like, where the hell's his locker? And I actually had to ask me and this other guy, where the hell's Malik's – oh, it's down here in the corner. It's actually the first lock as you walk in. It's right there next to Nacho. And I was like, oh, man, I thought it'd be next to Daniel, at least with the receiver over there. So I guess it was kind of a, okay, leave him alone type deal. Put him in the corner. He could slip out, go to the weight room, and then comes in when he's going to be, you know, talking to the media and all that stuff. But, yeah, it was pretty interesting where he situated his lockup. But, you know, he did make the 53, and he is on the team, Jerry.
So there you go. Nice.
That's all awesome. That matters. But, so, Malik, look, he's a pretty quiet kid. Gets the number one, and I think it's going to be really interesting. We'll find out in about 10 days, right, man?
Yeah.
Malik gets going against the Minnesota Vikings. So, I think everybody's really hyped and pretty pumped up to watch this kid in a regular season game. So.
Oh yeah, yeah! Can't wait for the little that we saw. You know, the general public. When I say that, in that second preseason game, I mean it's got to get you excited. You know, I mean, they kept saying, "All right, he had one drop." Yeah, well, okay, he had one drop, but it was a one-handed drop. But I mean, the kid just runs great routes. He's fast. Guy has good hands. So he's an exciting player, man. I'm happy for him. I think this is great, and the Giants must think highly of him to even ask the question of a retired player. So.
Yeah. I kind of wish they would have told us that before the Shane Dable presser today, because that could have been something to bring up to Joe Shane, you know?
Yeah, right.
You know, quite an honor. That's how much you guys think it is, you know, all that stuff. So, but we didn't find out till afterwards. But yeah, so Jerry, here we are, right? Final 53. The rosters are set. Could always tweak them, which I kind of expect. Look, one of the biggest things you look at this roster and you say one of the biggest, I thought toughest cuts, I should say, was going to be wide receiver position, where they were going to go with that, okay?
A little surprising, yes.
So it's a little surprising. Bryce Ford Wheaton stays.
Shocking.
Allen Robinson goes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Isaiah McKenzie goes to IR.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah Hodge. So I kind of had it, Jerry, when I was doing my own little thing. I kind of had it between – you know, Hodgins and Allen Robinson.
Yeah, that was the biggest surprise, that neither made it. Yep.
And then neither, you know, Isaiah's back with the practice squad, but, he gets released.
Mm-hmm.
And Bryce Ford Wheaton, special teams guy, big body, stays. Well, you know, that took me by surprise.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know? I thought that was the biggest surprise. I wasn't surprised we'll get the quarterbacks, that they kept three quarterbacks. I thought they were. But the fact that they kept six receivers, not seven, I thought they might keep seven, and I thought it was like, same as you, dude, between Hodgins and Robinson, and they didn't, and then they went with Bryce Ford Wheaton. So, good for him. It's a little surprising, that's all.
Yeah, so I was actually talking to Bryce in a locker room, and, you know, was he kind of surprised? You know, do you think specials put you over the top? And he's like, yeah, they basically told him that. They were basically like, listen, we need you on special teams, you know. Obviously, you know, it's going to be the four receivers, you know, and he's not going to be getting many snaps as a receiver. His job, although he could have a package for him in the red zone. I could see that because he's a big kid, you know.
Right.
But special teams, he's a very good – he showed that before he got hurt this year, and that's what they want him to do. Because if you're in that number six, seven spot as a wide receiver, you better be playing special teams, and that's what they really like them doing. Allen Robinson didn't play special teams.
Yeah.
Isaiah Hodgins doesn't play, you know. So that was a little bit of a surprise, but – no, like I said, I had one of those guys going, one of them staying. They both went, and Bryce Ford Wheaton stays. So as far as offensive line, Jerry, they kept 10.
Yeah.
Dable actually said today, you know, you're not necessarily going to have a swing tackle. You could have a left tackle and a right tackle. Now, I got to be honest with you, Jerry, and as be honest with the people listening, as I always am, you know, once again, you know, they're sticking with this Josh Azudu at tackle.
Got to be out of their minds.
And so if Andrew Thomas, God forbid, gets hurt, are you putting Azudu at left tackle? Evan Neal's just working his way back. Is Evan Neal the right tackle if Illuminor gets hurt? You know? So Dable was asked that today in the presser. Shane and Dable spoke to the media today after practice.
Yeah.
And Dable basically said, yeah, that could be a possibility. You know, we could do that. It doesn't necessarily have to be a swing tackle. A guy coming out, you know, plays left tackle and right tackle. And, you know, Evan played left tackle at Alabama. You know, he you know, so, but they're looking at it like, I could tell the way Dable answered that. You could see maybe that's going to be a left tackle, right tackle. You know, so you basically activate 8 for a game.
Right.
You know, you're not going to activate 9. So,
right.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what are you going to activate? Neal, Azudu, and then one guard? So it's curious. So that's going to be interesting to see the way that works out. You know, they kept the tag. Usually you keep 9 offensive linemen. They kept 10.
Yeah.
Kubis makes it. You know?
Yeah.
All about New York Giants is asking, does it seem like Joe and Dave's were annoyed today? Yeah. I'm not going to lie to you. Joe.
Can be honest, right?
Yeah. Joe was a little tense today. He's fed up with a few people, I could tell.
Okay.
With the questioning and in the media, whatever. Dave's, you know, usually back, but Joe was a little tense. Mm. I think he knew the questions that were coming, and I didn't quite get to me. You know, why you have Shane out there today? So he's going to say the same thing. You know, okay, we like the roster,
right?
Well, what about the cornerback position? Well, we're going to go with the guys because we like them. You knew what was coming, and then you had questions about, you know, does the ownership want you to win? And of course, Shane's going to be annoyed by that question. Of course, he wants you to win. That's what everybody's here for, to win.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, all about New York Giants. Yeah, I did sense that from the beginning. Joe was annoyed. I could see it. Thank you, John, 999. Thank you. Toronto, my man, Paisan.
Yeah, good evening, fellas. Great to have you back on. Wheaton surprised me as well, but they liked them last year before he got hurt. A lot of O-line room this year. Thanks for the donation, John. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
Man, buddy.
Thank you. Appreciate it a lot. So getting back to the roster. So they kept the 10 offensive linemen, Jerry.
Yeah, let's stay there real quick. I mean, look, dude. Chris, am I insane that I feel better about Evan Neal than I do Josh Azudu right now? And I don't feel good about either one.
I don't think you're insane to say
that. I mean, really, you know, that Josh Azudu is the backup plan.
Better run blocker. Good.
Right. Like, I mean, the fact that he's the backup, it's, you know, look, I mean, there's a lot of holes and you can't fill them all. I get it. And someone asked before, is it an ego thing? And it's not. And I wanted to address that because, look, they cut Darian Beavers. And I know it's not like investing in a first round pick. But, like, what I like about what they're doing is they're cutting draft picks already. They cut Owen. Like, they're not just keeping guys because they drafted them, right? And they're not just keeping guys because they brought them over from the Bills necessarily. They're trying to do what's best for this team, and they obviously believe that Azudu has potential still. So I don't think it's an ego thing, guys. Somebody asked that before. I can't find it on there. But I look at that's the biggest question mark right now on the line. Like, if everyone's healthy, I feel really good or pretty good about this line right now. But like you said, dude, there's no swing tackle. They're going to have a backup right and a backup left. And you said
maybe he said that could happen. That's
okay.
What he said. Yeah.
So if they activate, they have to activate a guard / center and then a guard, I would think. So I mean, I don't know how many they're activating, you know, on Sundays.
Let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
If Evan Neal wasn't a 7th overall pick, you think he's still a Giant right now?
No.
If he was a 5th round pick, do you think he's a Giant right now?
I don't. No, not at all. But I'm okay with still not giving up because he was a 7th overall.
Right, I agree.
I'm okay with it.
And I tell you what, they could have played the ego thing and said, "Well, he's starting, right?
Right.
He's our 7th overall pick. I don't care. He looks like crap, but we'll keep developing, keep working. He is our 7th overall, so throw him at the right tackle." And they went out and got Illuminor, and they pretty made it known from day one Illuminor was playing right tackle. From the day one of camp, they made it known Illuminor was playing right tackle.
Which
was
smart, right?
So you've got to look at that and say, okay, They're not going to let this. Okay, well, he's my seventh overall pick in 2022. He's playing. No, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's always about winning too, Jerry. And you got to be smart because, you know, because if you let that ego get in your way, oh, we're going to play this guy, play, you know, and you're losing games, you might not be here next year.
Real quick, just want to call out Donnie Mead, Donald Mead. Love you guys. Thanks for keeping me sane while living in enemy territory.
Thank you, Don.
In Philadelphia. Thanks, man. Thanks for
the
donation.
$20, a lot. Thank you so much, man. It's a lot of money. Thank you.
Really appreciate it. Really. Unbelievable. You guys are the best.
So, Jerry. Yeah.
So here we go. Here we go. Dropkick's ass. Do they bring back Tyree Phillips? Chris, you put a post on X about that.
Yeah. I was like, get his ass in here quick, you know, because he's working out. And, you know, we know Tyree played pretty good football for the Giants last year. And he's going to, and he's available, and he's close to coming back. So I can see that happening. You know, we'll see.
Oh, he's in Dallas, Don. I'm sorry, Don. You said enemy territory. You're in Dallas, not Philly. My bad, bud.
I thought he was too with the green jacket. I thought he was a Philly.
One more, Mark Morin. I want to thank you guys for all the great podcasts, especially with the Bob Papa. That episode convinced me to make the trip down from Connecticut for the weekend for the Fan Fest. That's awesome.
That's great, Mark. And the Fan Fest, from what I understand, is going to be phenomenal. It's just going to be a great night. So you're going to really enjoy yourself. So that's going to be worth the trip. No question about it.
Yep.
But Jerry, offensive line, you know, we feel pretty good about the starting five, right? Right now.
Yes, we do. I do. Okay. Yeah.
But Jerry, I do not feel good about the depth. Offensive line again.
Right.
I'm sorry. I don't. Yeah. If somebody goes down, well, you got guys like Neil, Zudu, you know, all that coming in. Austin Schottman, is he playing center?
Right.
Is he active, you know, back?
And Stinney.
Right. Aaron Stinney, not a bad guard. But I looked at the depth of this, you know, and I say, man, it's still not really there, you know? Yeah. I don't feel comfortable if somebody goes down.
No.
It could be a problem if somebody goes. If Andrew Thomas goes down, of course, you know, your stud left tackle is going to affect. But you can't have it ruin the whole operation like it did last year.
Right.
You know, and before anybody says, well, that always happens if you're going to lose your stud left tackle. No. Of course, it affects the line, but it shouldn't ruin your operation.
Right. Yeah. The whole offense can't go up in smoke. Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, that's the thing. And you look at it and go, well, now you got a Zudu in there. We saw what happened last year. You know, the depth of the offensive line still is a concern.
And the other night, John Michael Schmitz looked like he was going to be lost for a while. Then you posted on X, he's going to be ready week one. Thank God.
Yeah. Right now, Jerry, look, John Runyon's been back
the
last 2 days. So he's good to go. He'll be playing opening. You're going to have your starting five that they wanted.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
Luminor, Van Roten, JMS, John Runyon Jr., and Andrew Thomas. They're going to have barring an injury in practice in the next week. They're going to have those guys. That's what they wanted.
Yeah.
So they're going to have them. So that's good news, Jerry, right? You didn't lose a guy. Look, they lost Runyon and JMS this preseason with injuries, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to be ready to go.
Yeah.
So that's good news for Daniel and his offense. Okay? They're veterans. They'll get it together, the communication up front the next week and a half of practice. I'm not worried about that. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's good news right there. Their receivers, the strength of this team, they're all going to be ready to roll. Okay? Great news. Now, how about tight ends?
Mm.
Right? Now, usually you keep four. They kept three this year.
Yeah.
Were you surprised by that?
Surprised they didn't. I know Cager was hurt. I don't know how hurt he was. I'm a little surprised there. I am surprised they kept three. Right? They cut Stoll. I think he got picked up by the Eagles again. And I'm surprised, Chris, because it's like Theo Johnson. I mean, the potential is off the charts, but he's the number two, right? Like Bellinger's your one. I just would have liked a little more depth there. So I am surprised. Yes.
Yeah. Now they did bring back Lawrence Cager. He's on the practice squad.
Right.
Okay. Right. Dable really likes Manhurts, what he brings to the table. I know that for a fact. I've been putting it out on Twitter. Manhurts ain't going anywhere. He stayed. Okay. He likes the block. He likes what you do with him. So they brought back Jacob Johnson, the fullback. Okay. They released him. They brought him back. Mm. I could see him being elevated. I could see him being elevated for three games and then put on the active roster because he's a pretty good blocking back.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
There's your fourth back because right now there's three. Right?
Yeah. Yep.
Congratulations, Tyrone Tracy, obviously. Turbo Miller, he gets released. I wasn't quite sure he was going to make it through the waivers. He does. He's back at the practice squad.
I wasn't surprised that they only kept three running backs, though. And Miller was just the odd man out. And it was like, as soon as you saw that, and I know the coaching staff probably felt differently from the start, and he was a fifth-round pick. But when you saw what Gray brought to the table, you know, that first week, you're like, okay, all right, he's going to be – he's definitely, you know, the backup to Singletary. And Tracy was a draft pick. So Miller was kind of the odd man out, especially if they're going to activate, you know, a fullback, right, Jacobson. So, yeah.
Well, you know, but the initial 53s, they just kept three backs.
Right, right.
Miller was going to be done. He was going back to the practice squad. You knew that if he made it through waivers, he did.
Yep.
And then, you know, then he released Jacob Johnson. It was like, so they only had three backs. And right now, they still have three backs. He's on the practice squad. But not the elevator, and we'll see.
Now, so
I was going to say, usually you keep four backs. They kept three.
Now, part of that game, though, is knowing it has to be part of it. Like, if we cut this guy, we think we're going to get him back on the practice squad.
Yes, it is. Right? But you never know, Jerry.
Right, right.
You know, the Jets tried to do that with Jason Pinnock a couple years ago.
Yeah.
They were trying to get him through and get him back, and the Giants picked him up, and he's been pretty decent player for them. Right. You just never know. Yep. And I was with Turbo, Jerry, I was thinking about with these new kickoff rules. I said, oh, man, somebody's going to – I can see somebody picking him up just to get him out there and get him on the kickoffs, you know?
Yeah, yep.
But that worked out. Now, the big thing, too, the three quarterbacks, right?
All right, before we do that, Chris, we're going to take a break. All right, guys, you listen to the Giant Insider podcast. We'll be right back after this. Hang on 1 second.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
And we're back. Folks, listen to the Giant Insider podcast with Jerry Foley and Chris. Nobody beats the Biz Bizignano. That's exactly where I was going next. Go ahead, dude. Quarterback.
Now, the three quarterbacks.
Yep.
Now, the beginning of camp, I said, you're not keeping three. Why would you keep three? You keep two. As I saw camp going on, and as I'm hearing how much he likes DeVito, I said, then I started putting out, well, guess what, folks? He's going to keep three, Dable. Remember?
Yeah.
He kept three. I don't quite get that move, Jerry. Now, this is not new. Teams do keep three. The Browns right now have four on their, you know, that's going to change. But teams do keep three, but most teams keep two, especially when your roster isn't deep. And I look at it like, okay, well, you got Locke and obviously Daniel. Like, why are we keeping Tommy? Okay, so one of the reasons why is they didn't want to put him in. Somebody might pick him up. They didn't want to lose him, right?
Yeah.
To me, I would have said, okay, well, we'll take that chance. You know what I mean? And if he gets somebody does sign him, they sign him. If not, he comes back here and all that. So, because now you got him on the roster, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't quite get, like, you know, like Dable today says, well, you know, Locke's a little banged up, but he should be ready. You know, we have DeVito just in case, rolling with him. And the bottom line is he likes DeVito, didn't want to take the chance of losing him. But Jerry, to me, it's like, okay, then decide between DeVito and Locke, okay?
Yeah, right.
I get two on the roster. Why are we doing three here?
You know? If I had to do over again, you just don't sign Drew Locke, you know, like don't, and then just make DeVito your backup, and that's it, right? And if you like DeVito that much, he's your backup. Now, look, there was a little bit on X about maybe Locke or DeVito should start over Daniel Jones. It's like, I mean, if Daniel Jones goes down, as much as a question mark of Daniel Jones is, that Daniel Jones is, if Daniel Jones goes down, it's over, guys. It's just going to be ugly if that happens, right? So, get that out of your head. Get that out of everybody's head. Drew Locke and Tommy DeVito, we've seen enough. They're not the answer, but you just keep one. And I think they kept two because they're both question marks. And it's like, at this point, they don't want to get rid of DeVito. They already signed Locke. They kind of have to keep him because they signed him. So I just think it's more like, I'll be honest with you, because I think it's a little bit of buyer's remorse. I think it's, we spent the money to get him, whatever, how many million it was. It wasn't a lot of million, but it was significant. And it's, well, we're not going to cut him. We're going to keep him, but we like DeVito. We think if we cut him, he's going to go get picked up by someone else. So now we're stuck with three. And that's it. I think it stinks too, to be honest with you.
Look, is it the worst thing, Jerry? No, I just don't see it in a team that could use that roster spot in another position.
Sure.
You know, I just don't quite get that. I don't. But this is the decision they made. You know, I have to – now, I'm going to bring up something else. Oh, no, I guess we'll stick to the offense. When we go to defensive side of the ball, I'm going to bring it up. Okay. So, Jerry, the three tight ends, right? Well, they'll use Jacob Johnson to be elevated some games. He'll be used at H-back. Bellinger and Manhurst will be used at an H-back role, fullback role, too. Believe me, you're going to see that a lot in the running game. Wide receivers, okay, we discussed that. Offensive line, okay, kept 10. Good luck with the depth. The tackle goes down, good luck with that, right? And O'Neal's going to have to go in there and play. Whether or not he goes left tackle, that's to be determined. Dable basically said that today. We could do left tackle and right tackle. I don't know. It'll be interesting the first game in over a week from now. Who the hell is active? Yeah. You make eight guys active on offensive line game day.
Yep.
So we'll see who the hell. Me personally, dude, I think if, say, John Michael Schmitz gets hurt, you will see Stinney active on game days, okay? He will not be inactive. Me personally, I think if John Michael Schmitz goes down, Van Roten slides over to center and Stinney comes in the guard.
Yeah.
That's what I think they'll do.
Okay.
I do not think – now, excuse me. If Austin Schottman is active, then obviously he will come in at center.
Right.
So I don't know if they want moving parts or they, you know what I mean? Like Van Roten, Stinney, or they just want to replace like a guy like Schottman comes in for JMS if he gets hurt.
Yeah.
Okay. Me personally, to me, it's a no-brainer. You got to put Van Roten at center, Stinney at guard, because Austin Schlottman is not a good
– So that was what I was going to ask you.
Low-average center, dude.
So I was going to ask you that. Who are you most confident in of the backup? So you don't like the depth, but is it
– I am
so,
Stinney.
Stinney.
And that's not saying much.
So it's Stinney and everybody else, and it's not much. Right.
Yeah, he's all right, but I don't have much confidence in Zudu. I don't have confidence in Evan Neal.
Oh, how could you?
Schlottman, I don't have confidence in him. Kubis is young. He'd probably be inactive. You know?
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see what they do. Well, you'll get a feel, obviously, after the first game. Right, well, who the hell is inactive and all that? So that's going to be the interesting part, you know?
Mark Thompson agrees with you. I agree with that assessment regarding Stinney and Zudu.
I mean, I've seen Schlottman all summer. I've seen you guys have all seen him in the preseason games. To me, he's not – he's a below-average football player. Center, I'm sorry. Get Greg and slide him over, put him at center, and if something happens to JMS in his shoulder – and all that. Obviously, if a left guard goes down, you got Stinney. A right guard, you got Stinney and all that stuff. And then the tackles, good luck. We discussed that a few minutes ago.
Do you feel better about the starting line, though, than you have in years past?
Absolutely, Jerry. Absolutely. Now, if they go out and play like a bunch of tomatoes, then we'll go and be sitting here going, here we go. Same old
story. I can't believe this line still stinks.
We thought they upgraded the line, and they're playing like crap as usual, you know. But right now, as you know, August 28th, yes, I feel better.
So do I.
And what... Jerry, what makes me feel better, too, obviously, is that we saw them in preseason. We've seen them in joint practices against the Jets and the Lions. We've seen a lot of clean pockets. A lot of clean pockets, you know?
Yep.
And that makes you feel better. And that makes you feel better. So I do. Yes.
Tim B. really hoping JMS takes that next step, concerning he couldn't get solid reps this offseason. Yeah, I know. It's a concern.
He's getting a lot of reps down in practice. He missed those 8-9 prep, but he's getting to work. And now he worked against the Jets. He'll be there for the practice the next week and a half, so he'll be ready to go.
And I, by the way, I'm not Monday morning quarterbacking. I had zero issue with him playing in that Jets game, Chris, because he hadn't played.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
You're talking to the wrong guy. To me, these guys should get more snaps in preseason.
Right. So when I saw him in there, they're like, wow, it's the only starter. I'm like, guys, he hasn't played at all. He's got to get some action, right?
Hey, Dable wanted him to get some reps.
So I didn't care.
So it's football. It could happen.
Football, people get hurt. It is what it is.
Okay.
I'm not saying you don't make Malik Nabers your kick returner. I get it, guys. But, you know.
Oh, you don't play John Michael Schmitz four quarters, Jerry.
Right.
But he gets reps. He needed reps. He needed snaps. He got them.
Yeah.
Evan Neal needed snaps. He gets hurt on the 21st snap. They were taking him out anyway.
Yeah.
You know? So.
All right. Let's.
Now,
let's,
the defensive side
let's
of
go
the
to the defense. Yep.
So I thought the Giants would be a little more active on a waiver wire today. They weren't. One of the reasons why, I believe, too, is because Carolina and New England went nuts.
Yeah, and by the way, it's not like a fantasy draft, guys. You when Carolina picks, they could take 15 guys if they want to. It's not like they take one and then it goes back, right? Like, they could take whoever the hell they want.
And they
the
did.
Next team.
They took I think they took four corners and an offensive player. And New England took guys. So there might have been a few guys that Shane was interested in. Of course, he's not going to admit that. He said, you know, they asked him today.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that. Thank you for that.
Matt yeah, Pert Jay Farris. Matt Pert won the swing jump tackle in Denver. Go. Ooh, God.
Okay. All so right. Good luck. Yep.
So good luck.
What were they saying, Jerry?
I lied. Sorry, that was my fault. Active. They were going to be active, but Carolina and the Patriots.
Yeah. So Joe says, yeah, I only put in one claim. Yeah. They sign a linebacker.
Yeah.
Excuse me. They sign a safety and all that. And Javarius Owens gets released and all that. So they go. Look, cornerback, we know, is a concern, right? So you're going into the season now with Flott, McLeod, Drew Phillips, and those guys, right? Mm. So that's what they were. Like they said today, they told us, hey, we have confidence. We're going to keep working them. And obviously, they're going to run him out there, and we'll see. You know, Dable kind of admitted he had an idea who's going to be playing on the outside, McLeod or Flott. He didn't want to, you know,
Who do you think it's going to be
today?
Who do you think it's going to be?
But considering that McLeod's been playing the snaps and Flott's been hurt, I mean, the way Dable said it today, like he's kind of made up, he's kind of knows where they're going with this. Is it going to be McLeod? I don't know. It's Flott's job. When he comes back, that's the guy. Probably Flott. I think when Flott's practicing now, he's coming back this week. I think it'll be Flott.
Do you feel better with one over the other, or is it a coin flip for you, Chris?
I feel better with Flott over McLeod.
Really? Okay. All right.
I feel better with Flott over McLeod, which isn't saying much, Jerry.
Sure. Right.
I feel better with McLeod over Flott over McLeod. I do. I feel really good about Drew Phillips in that slot too.
Yeah, you said that from the start. He was going to win. You said from the start he was going to win that.
He'll have his struggles, but I think he's going to be a nice player for them. So that's what they're going. So the cornerback position, dude, you know, no waivers. Nobody picked up in a waiver wire. Not that there's a whole lot of talent out there, but nobody picked up. We'll see if they tweak with that a little bit. Trade somebody else. We'll see.
So. One of our listeners, and I put him in the column this week, Julio Souza, who's been a follower of ours forever, and he's always on every live stream. He was just on tonight. You know, he brought up something on Hard Knocks that, you know, Shane made the joke, well, if we get Burns and Thibodeau, I could play corner or whatever, right?
Yeah. Now he was joking with that, Shane. Yeah.
Okay, right. But I just – that's what people remember. You know what I mean? Like, that's – like, oh. If that's all I'm saying. Like, if it doesn't – you know, if this doesn't work, it's they didn't get another corner. So, you know, look, you can't fill everything. But like you said, I thought they'd be a little more aggressive too a couple of weeks ago with Gilmore or somebody. And that if they're relying on McLeod and Flott, I hope they're right. That's all. So,
yeah, we all do. But it's a major concern. And look, you could have the Burns and the Thibodeaux. I get what he's saying, Julio. Like, you know, oh, well, don't worry about the cornerback. Two cornerbacks as much because we got two guys on the outside get the quarterback. That's not going to happen all game. Yeah. You're going to need guys to cover.
Yeah.
Because, guys, even when you got like Brian Burns is having his – maybe he's having his way with a left tackle early on.
Yeah.
They're going to start scheming to block that. Teams scheme. You know, they're max protecting. You know, you're going to have to cover on the back end. First down, play action. You hold it up. You're freezing those outside edge guys right off the bat. It gives you a few more seconds. You're going to have to cover down the field. Yep. These coaches scheme in this league, you know?
Yep.
So you can't just say, you know, you just can't go in and say, well, we got Burns and Thibodeaux. First of all, who's Thibodeaux? Lawrence Taylor? You know? I mean, come on.
Right.
You got Burns. You got Thibodeaux. So we're not really too concerned about the guys in the back end. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Jerry, if we had Lawrence Taylor and Carl Banks, I would still be like, okay, yeah, we got guys to get to the quarterback up front. And Lennon Marshall, Jerry. We got guys that we can get to the quarterback. But we still got to cover on the back. Yeah, you can't just rely on guys getting 10 sacks. That ain't happening.
Still need more Collins and Perry Williams, right?
Happening. We need guys that could cover on the back end,
Oscar, thanks for the $4.99, bud. Really appreciate it. Oscar, thank you, Oscar. Been a fan of ours for a long time.
Yeah.
All right, so... linebacker, right? Oh. I mean, a ton here.
I'm talking inside linebacker, Jerry.
Yeah, go ahead.
You got Bobby Okereke.
Yep.
And you got McFadden, who's okay.
Mm.
And then what?
Masal, the rookie.
Deontay Johnson was having
Johnson's
a nice
now IR.
He just went on IR.
Yeah, and they picked up designated for return. I can't tell you I don't know who they picked up, dude. I
don't know this guy they even picked up. He's okay, a special fine. Team. Supposedly he's a special teamer. I don't
right,
know.
Right. And Carter Coughlin, maybe? He's really a special teams player. But
yeah. So no, absolutely no depth. Yeah. None.
Zero. No.
I know everybody got excited about CJ Cloud, you know, and mm-hmm. all that. He was 4,000 tackles the last preseason game. Guys, he's going against threes and twos. He might be on, he might have something. He's on the practice squad. Yes, he might be something. But folks, you know, a third preseason game and playing the Minnesota Vikings ones with teams that game plan is a whole different thing.
Yeah.
So you can't look at that and go, oh, I think we found something here. Look at him all over the field. Great. He had a great game. Maybe they found something. He's going to be on the practice squad. If he's practicing well, he'll be elevated. If they need him, you know, if they feel he could help them, he'll be elevated. You know? So
yeah.
You got to practice well. These practice squad guys got to practice well during a week to get elevated for a Sunday. So.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. All right.
But Jerry, I was talking with a few people today. I said to them, I said, can you imagine if Bobby Okereke goes down and gets hurt?
Mm.
What the hell you got?
You got literally McFadden and Moselle. That's it.
Moselle. You
know, that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, again, and then that's a coin flip, right? I mean, okay. Maybe, again, maybe Carter Coughlin, but I mean, like you said, the drop off would be immense.
And I gotta say something too, Jack. I just gotta say something, dude.
Go ahead.
You know, so the Giants signed an undrafted free agent by the name of Alex Johnson, who was just brought back. He was released and brought back to the practice squad.
Yeah.
Now this is a kid. I talked to him in the locker room today. This is a kid that played corner, had 5 picks, and was really good for UCLA his last year. You know, he comes here, and now, Jerry, when you're in the locker room, this is what's great about it. You know, when you see him on the sidelines with the pads on, you say, okay, look, you know, blah, blah, blah. Then when you're next to the locker room, you really see their size of their bodies.
Right.
By the way, Thibodeau looks like he's even bigger. He is so jacked. Arms and chest. He's huge, Thibodeau.
Yeah, yep.
So Alex Johnson is not a big kid. Why I'm bringing this up? Because from day one, the Giants have had him at safety. So I said to myself, why the F do we have this kid at safety when he was a real good corner coming out?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so maybe he's, you know what? I'm watching him every day. I say, oh, maybe he's bigger than, you know, he's got, you know, maybe he's bigger than I thought. You know, blah, blah, blah. I was up next to him today and he's not bigger than I thought. He's not even a safety size kid.
Right.
And the Giants put him at safety from there. And I asked him today, you know, like, Alex, I got to ask you something. I said, you know, I know you're from UCLA, blah, blah, blah. I got to ask you, did you play safety at all at UCLA? He goes, no. Anything? No. I said, oh, you know, well, you came over here, you know, you're playing safety. He goes, yeah, you know, they told me when I got here that we're going to need you at safety. And I'm saying to myself, Jerry, of course, I wasn't going to say it to Alex, but I said, okay, Alex, you know, I'm glad you're back. I actually thought you might get swooped up and somebody told you at the corner position because every team could use corners.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you made it through. Blah, blah, blah. You're on the practice squad. Okay.
Yep.
And I'm saying to myself, this is a team that needs corners in the worst effing way.
Right.
The worst effing way this Giant team needs corners. You got a kid who played corner UCLA, 5 picks, obviously a ball hawk. I don't think it was 5. He was beat bad, deflections up in his hand. He caught came back. I saw a couple of them on highlights when the Giants were doing draft time. And I said, oh, you know, Keel looks pretty decent. You know, he got a couple of nice picks. I saw some of his picks. Can you explain this to me? How the hell do you not throw him on the outside and give him a look?
I have no idea. And the person,
I do what you said that. I have no idea.
And the person that you got rid of to for his roster spot, Chris, was Owens, Javarius Owens, correct?
Javarius Owens is cut, and I think he signed an apprentice. So, but he was released. Yeah,
right. So you made room for a safety with a corner, but you had it's a little puzzling to me. That's all. Like if you like, is he going to be that much of a better reserve safety than Owens? Like you said, why not? We need corners. Did you pick this kid up to be a corner? Why is he playing safety?
That's all I'm saying is like for a team that's very thin at corner. and haven't looked good this summer. That includes Flott, McLeod, and even Deontay Banks at times. Really didn't hasn't had a good, strong summer. Okay? You got a kid that you drafted as a corner. You signed undrafted free agent as a corner who's coming off a pretty solid year. How the hell do you not give him a look on the outside?
I just hope we don't have a blind spot there, because the other corner that we didn't mention, at least he's listed as a corner or listed in the secondary, is Isaiah Simmons. I just hope there's not a blind spot with the cornerback position, Chris.
Well, Isaiah is going to be used, like we said, right? In a slot.
Great. that doesn't make me happy.
Linebacker wall, okay. Third down line. That's what they said they're going to use him. They kind of showed that in preseason and practices. Okay. Are we confident? Like I said, I'm not confident in that.
No.
A little surprised, speaking of corners, because he was so good in special teams, not as a cornerback, please. It was Donnay Holmes.
Right.
I thought he would stay because he was that good in special teams last year.
Yeah. Did you know when he was playing so much in the third game, were you
I thought he was in trouble. Yeah, I thought he was in trouble.
Same. Yeah. The whole game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When he played, I said, oh, they're showcasing him. You know?
The Raiders got him today.
Yep. Patrick Graham brought him over, and the Raiders signed him. When they were showcasing him that much, I said,
Yeah, he's in trouble.
That's not a good sign,
Same. Yep.
And obviously, look, he's not a corner. Donnay is not a good corner. You know, he could be physical. He also misses tackles, the penalties. We all know that. We all know what Donnay could do. But he was a very good gunner last year. That's why he thought he would make the team.
Yeah.
It went another direction with that. Okay, so some interesting decisions there. There was, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, that's a dumb move. They should have kept on. No, I just thought he would stay because of his special teams ability,
Yeah. And
Benton Whitley.
Right.
Okay. Special teams. They kept him on the outside. Tamon Fox, they released. They did get him back on the practice squad. I'm trying to think of another guy, but I was just, it was a little bit surprised. I know he played well. He's supposed to be a special teamer, but they wound up keeping Benton Whitley and all that stuff. But look, Thibodeau and Burns are going to be on the field a lot. They're going to get a lot of snaps. Yeah. Then Aziz is going to get some snaps, And Boogie, he'll get some snaps. But Burns and Tibbs, Tibbs don't come off the field. And Burns is going to be on the field. So you're going to see those two guys the majority of the game.
It's going to be interesting to see where they put Aziz, if they do line him up on the line, or as he gives somebody a blow. He's kind of the X factor to see where, they can put him. All right, guys, we're going to take another break. We're already 40 minutes in, and there's over 800 of you watching. Before we do, rounding third base, 8-year-old Dalton's leg began to hurt. Despite over 3 years of treatment, including chemo and amputation and multiple clinical trials and surgeries, Dalton, or D, passed away at 12 years old from cancer. His parents and Giants fans, Jen and Will, formed Defeat Cancer to help discover targeted treatments and help kids like Dalton and the 16,000 American kids diagnosed with cancer each year. 100% of the donations to Defeat Cancer directly fund pediatric cancer research. Please help them at www.defeatcancer.org. That's www.defeatcancer.org. All right, guys, we'll be back right after this. Hang on 1 second. And we're back. Folks, listen to the Giant Insider podcast with Jerry Foley and Chris. Nobody beats the biz, Bizignano. All right. So we hit linebacker. The last one, I think, is defensive line. I don't, we talked
about surprises safety. No surprises there for me.
No, and I'm glad it for Chapman.
Yeah, but we knew he was going to make it. So that's why it was no surprise. They kept five, which they thought.
Will's watching. Will's.
Oh, thank Dalton's you.
Will's father. Awesome.
Great.
Yeah. Good stuff, Will.
That's good stuff, yeah. They kept five.
Yep.
And that was no surprise who they kept,
Yeah. All right, that's a non-starter there. No discussion on that one. Right.
So a lot of people ask, personally on X and all that, hey, if you had one real surprise cut, mm-hmm. who do you think it would be? And I said, well, if I had to go with one real surprise cut, I would say Aziz. I would have said Aziz.
Oh, well, would have been cut. Yeah, okay.
I'm sorry, before the cuts.
Yeah, okay.
Who would be your surprise cut?
Yeah.
And I said, well, you know, if I had to go one surprise, maybe Aziz. But then when I saw he didn't, then when he didn't play against the Jets, I said, oh, Aziz is safe. You know,
right.
You know, as he should be, in my opinion, as he should be, because Aziz could still play. Now, Jerry, get back to what you said before. How are they going to use him? Will you put him on a line, put him in there? You know, if they do that, that'll be the first time we've really seen that, because I didn't see that in practice.
Yeah, right.
And Shane Bone really didn't. He said, well, we could maybe try different things. So, hey, look, you don't know what's going to happen next Sunday against the Vikings. Will that be maybe a surprise package he throws out there? Yeah, it could be.
Yeah. Yep.
We'll find out a lot, brother. 1 o'clock, September 8th, you know?
Yeah.
I would like to see that. I haven't seen it in practice. Will they start doing it this week?
Yeah.
Because don't forget, for the media, we're only there like 15 minutes. We watch probably 15 minutes. They game plan and we don't watch practice anymore. Like today. Today was 15 minutes. That's it. We're in regular season mode. We don't see what the hell they're doing out there.
I'm kind of speaking it into existence because I'm thinking of Justin Tuck doing it, and I'm not putting Aziz Ojulari and Justin Tuck in the same sentence, but you know, he's got pass scheme rush talent. Wise. Right. Yeah. Scheme wise would be nice.
Yeah. So we'll see what Shane Bowen has in mind for him. And coming up in about 10 days. So
gotta be honest with you, I'm most excited for what Dable's gonna do with the offense week one. You know, because everything was just so vanilla in preseason, and as it should be. Like I'm not disappointed. But I just can't wait to see them. Yeah, look, I'm still, you know, long Wandale Robinson. The fact neighbors are going to open up so much for him. You know, they have weapons on this offense. They have weapons at receiver. Darius Slayton is still, you know, he's probably the most reliable one they have, aside obviously from neighbors. But Jalen Hyatt's exciting. Like, it's going to be an exciting offense. And if the line holds up, you know, hey, you know, this could be a lot of fun to watch. I cannot wait to see week one. What we do.
Yeah. And Jerry, you know, like a second ago, you just said he is the most reliable one right now, Slayton, with Daniel.
Yeah.
Obviously, Malik is the most talented one.
Right. Right.
But right now, the most reliable one for Daniel is Slayton, you know? And then you got Wandell. And then Malik has, you know, Malik has to build that bond with Daniel over these, you know, course of the season. Obviously, Malik is the most dynamic one out there, the most explosive one, and the one we expect to go crazy out there, you know? So, that'll be interesting to see how, you know. Now, look, Malik is going to get schemed against now, against the Vikings.
Yeah.
He's going to learn it's going to be a whole different world for him. He's going to learn a lot. How they're going to disguise the scheme to his way. He's going to see stuff against Brian Flores that he has never seen before. I don't give a shit. It's the SEC and LSU. Right. You know, although maybe with Nick Saban's the way he disguised. I actually watched those games against Malik. And I watched him again on the All 22. And yes, I have to admit, Nick Saban was scheming against it. He was confused to show him a single high roller to a cover two. But the point is that he's going to see different schemes and at this level that he hasn't seen. They're going to disguise looks and all that stuff. And Malik will get it, but it's going to be, you know, don't expect it to be so smooth at first, you know? But he's so damn dynamic, Jerry, you know, that he's going to make plays for you, man. There's going to be plays. Just throw the damn thing up there. Let him go get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and the attention placed on him is just going to open things up for other guys. I cannot wait to see Wandell Robinson this year, man. Fully healthy, you know, third year in under Dable. Like I'm most excited. As excited as I'm about neighbors, I'd say I'd almost as excited about Wandell Robinson, dude. So,
You know what I'm excited about, Jerry? What? Brian Dable calling plays.
Yeah, right, right. It's going to be more exotic too. It should be.
Brian Dable calling plays.
Yeah. Yep.
You know? Good point.
Yep.
Brian Dable has a feel. He has a feel for what the team is doing. He has a feel, you know what I mean? Like, okay, this is what we're going to stick with this. He's good at that, Dave. He's got a proven track record of it, man.
Right.
You know, I'm not knocking Kafka, but we're not going to go with Kafka and Dable calling plays right now, are we? I mean, you want to compare that? You know, Dable's a better. He's better at it. The guy's proven it.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm excited about Mr. Dable with that sheet like this, you know, walking on the sideline, calling those plays, man.
Yeah, taking over the reins, right? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how he attacks it, you know?
Yeah.
And that's going to be something I think is going to pump a lot of life in that offense, you know?
Yeah.
So how is he going to use Tyrone Tracy, right? Singletary's the number one guy, and you got Tracy and Eric Gray. Now, do you use Tracy on third downs? Because he's got good hands, right?
Yes, right.
So it'd be interesting what they do. Is Tyrone Tracy return kickoffs? Don't forget. Now, Gunner, a guy has been hurt. right? He got hurt. He looks like he's in line to play against the Vikes. He'll be returning punts. Will it be him and Tracy returning kickoffs? We'll find out.
Yeah.
We'll find out. Now, Gunnar was moving better today. The other day, he was moving okay. Mm. Today, he was moving better.
Yeah.
Okay? He was going left, right. He was receiving punts right in front of me. Is he 100% yet? No, he's not 100%. I would say he's around 60% right now, but he's in line to be fine for the Vikings. So that's good news right there.
And I didn't feel nearly as safe with Isaiah McKenzie catching punts in preseason.
Now, a little shaky at times, right?
Yeah, yeah. I was like, oh no. Don't. And look, I know they ended up, he's on the practice squad now, right? McKenzie on the practice squad.
McKenzie's out IR for the year.
IR, sorry. I know he's on the team. He's on IR. Okay. Yeah. But I was like, please don't decide between these two. Please don't. Please. Yeah. Just don't screw this up. So when I heard Gunner was the sixth receiver, I was pretty happy with that.
Yeah. Jerry, in all fairness, Jerry, I could tell you this. They were going to go with Gunner returning punts. They just felt a little more safer.
Yeah.
Him actually catching the punts.
Right. Which is huge.
McKenzie was good, but he could be a little, even in practice during the summer, this summer.
Yeah.
Dude, he's had a couple of little shaky. I think they're so damn powered after last year with Eric Gray that Gunner was going to be the punt guy.
You know. You brought up something interesting before about Tracy, right? Like on the depth chart, it could be Eric Gray, but in a game, Tracy could get more touches just because of kick returns and third down back. Like you don't know how they're gonna use him. And on the depth chart, Eric Gray is too. But Tracy may end up getting more.
You look, Jerry. When Singletary needs, when he comes out after the third series, you're gonna see Eric Gray,
right?
But then you have your third down packages,
yeah,
right? Yep. Like you just said. What about your kickoffs that are going to be in play now? Do teams kick it through the end zone or the teams kick it short? You know, the league's going to have to adjust to that. Huh?
And through the end zone is at 30-yard line start.
Yeah. Right? But the average, Jerry, this preseason, the average return is starting field position is like the 28.5-yard line.
Oh, okay. All right.
So now teams, like even Belichick said it the other day. He goes, if that keeps up, right, teams are just going to be like, well, who gives a shit too much? Why are we taking a chance? Just put it through the end zone. Let us start the third.
Right. What's the point? Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we're going to see the first month of the season. I think you will see teams kicking off short, and then we're going to see how the returns or where teams are starting field position and all that stuff.
Do you like that change in the kickoff?
I do. I do like it. I think it's interesting.
And I'm usually against it. Like, I can't stand the second base, the guy on second in extra innings. I get why they do it to shorten the game. I understand that. There's changes sports make where I can't stand it. That's right. One that doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah, I think, look, it's a one-year experiment. Yeah. Right? That's all it is. They're going to revisit at the end of the year.
And kickoffs were meaningless before.
Right. And here's the thing, too. The way I look at it like this, right? And you tell me if you agree with me, Jerry. They kick off, and if teams are putting it through the end zone, well, there goes the tweak. Like, what are we doing this for? Well, you know what? Why can't you change the rule in the middle of the season and go, okay, from now on, kickers just kick it off in the 25-yard line, where you're basically forcing it now. You know what I mean? Well, not a lot of guys are going to reach the end zone. If they do, whatever, guys could come out and return it. It'd be interesting. I don't know.
Kick it farther back, you mean?
The kicker goes five yards back.
Yeah, right.
So now there's a very good chance the kick return is going to come out.
Yeah.
You know, the guys stay in the 40 and 35, and you got to wait till you catch him, boom, 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 and then
they right. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, another thing I want to talk about this kickoff return, but which I haven't seen, but I'd be curious as I start watching these games, which is obviously next Thursday, right? A week away.
Yep. Yeah.
8 days away, whatever. Because this is basically a glorified run play. It's basically a glorified inside zone and outside zone run play to kick off a turn. Yep. Well, if you think I'm kidding, well, look what the Rams did today. They named Kyren Williams, Notre Dame, their running back as their kickoff returner.
Yeah.
Sean McVay, that's Sean McVay, his offensive, he's always thinking of that guy. I mean, he's just a great offensive mind. Yeah. And he said, you know what? This is basically a run play.
Right.
I'm putting one of my best running backs back there and let him return. He could bust one every time he does. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep.
So I'm saying, Jerry, do teams next week, do they have three or four defensive starters? Because now you're not running down the field. You're starting from the 40-yard line. Right, what are you running? 20 yards before the kickoff guy gets back?
Yeah, good point.
Because now if you have three or four defense that could tackle, that kind of eliminates that run. You know what I mean? I'm just curious if teams are going to start doing that, or they just adjust to say, you know what, kick it to the end zone. It'd be interesting. I don't know. We'll see.
No, that's a good point. Well, what will they do, right? And maybe not. You don't put Dexter Lawrence out there, but maybe you put, I don't know, I'm just like somebody else.
You could put the Bobby Okereke case.
Right, right. Yeah, right.
Right? Yeah. You could put the even the Brian Burton now, the risk of injury, but they're not running as far.
Right, and you're not running down the field. It's not really a kickoff anymore.
Right, that's the only reason why I'm saying this.
Yeah, right, right,
you put one of your starting corner, the speed, guys that can say the Giants
safeties,
kick off.
Or good tacklers like safeties.
Safety, Tyler Newbins.
Yeah.
Say you kick off, say your first kickoff, they play the Vikings, whoever the hell is going to be returning kickoffs in it, right? You do the short kick, Jerry, the 10-yard line.
Yeah.
And two special team guys that are backup guys, right?
Yeah.
A wide receiver, a backup linebacker, they miss the tackle, tackle.
Yeah.
And the guy returns to the 50-yard line, 40-yard line.
Yep.
On a glorified run play.
Yeah.
Do teams start to just go, you know what? We got to start getting some starters out there that get a short tackle, that a tackler. So, because this glorified run play has got to get stopped.
Right.
Or do you start kicking it out?
Or, like you said, it's not worth it anymore. Just kick it to the end
zone. Right. Or just kick it out of the end zone. So, we'll find out. We'll find out soon enough, man, how they're going to adjust to this, the league. It'll be interesting to see what special team coaches do.
Very interesting. Guys, we almost have 1,000 people watching. Thanks for the support. If you're on YouTube, please hit the thumbs up. We really appreciate it, man. If those of you on X watching, just subscribe to our YouTube channel. It's free. You'll get updates as they happen.
So, Jerry, I don't know if you noticed, but I had to get a little thing on the wall back
I saw it. Someone commented already on it. Yep.
Okay. So what happened was my wife told me, she was like, you know, you look like you're being held in a Hamas tunnel, when you're on. She goes, you got to put something on the wall. So I said, well, you know, really? She goes, yeah. All that's missing is you like pretending like you're saying, Hamas are really nice people. You know what I mean? They're really treating me great here. You know, and all that. Like I'm being held against my will. You know? So I went out. I had this in the garage, Jerry.
Nice.
I said, Jerry, I'll like this, you know?
Noticed
so I
it
put
right
something
away.
On the wall there to kind of try to add a little life. I might put I got a picture of Lawrence Taylor and Parcells, a frame picture, Jerry.
There you go.
I might put it right next to that. So just to liven it up a little bit because, you know, I'm sick and tired of my wife yelling at me, to be honest with you. I know you in your mind, you're probably like, dude, put something on the wall.
I almost thought at some point you were like, you know what? I refuse to put something on the wall at this point.
No, and I see a lot of people have either commented or on Twitter have put, Chris, put something on a damn wall. Well, all you see, it looks like you're in prison.
So Diego says, looks good, Biz, keep it up.
Yeah.
Blink if you're being held against your will, Chris from Rich M. And Tom Demopoulos, Led Zepp poster, baby.
Tom, I don't know. It's a football show. Jerry's got the football stuff.
That's a point of absolute. I can't.
I don't know if I should put a Jimmy Page. You know what I mean? Doing a football show. I don't know if that's appropriate. Look, I got some more memorabilia stuff. I do have some stuff downstairs. I got an Antonio Pierce thing. I think people will like. I'm not like Jerry. Jerry's got shit all over him.
Out of my mind.
I have an Antonio Pierce thing. I have a Lawrence Taylor. You probably can't even see it, but I got a Lawrence Taylor Parcells thing there. I try to liven up my wall so, like I said, it doesn't look like I'm being held hostage and all that stuff.
The one thing about your team not being good, though, you don't spend a lot on memorabilia. I mean, there was a run of the Giants where I was spending way too much on this obsession.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. I mean,
I can see a lot of people get like that.
Yeah. Chris, you need to earn this room here. Like, you're either in the Ring of Honor or a champion. So Saquon didn't make this room. Like, sorry, you need some staying power. So I wait a little bit now. So it's like, even with like, I'm bad enough with jerseys. I just go out and get a new jersey. But with this stuff, it's like, no, you need to. So I'm not, that's the only positive of not being that great.
Are you getting a Malik Nabers jersey this year?
I'm not a wide
receiver. I'm going to hold off.
I'm getting either Okereke or Burns.
Okereke or Burns. Cool. Yeah. Like it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
What's Dan Mann? I loved your
Dan tweet. Dan Mann, loved the tweet about how many more times the other day, best Led Zeppelin song.
My tweet about how many more? Oh, the woman I said in the gym. Yes, in the gym. Yes. Okay. Thank you, Dan. Yeah.
Mark Thompson says, Led Zepp is your personality, Chris. Do it.
Well, a lot of people don't realize about Led Zeppelin, unless you're a real diehard Zeppelin fan. I'm sure a lot of people do, but not to see it. I am. I'm not. I'm 15.
No, that's your favorite band, though.
I'm done. But Led Zeppelin back in the day, well, the people that hung around Zeppelin, especially their road manager, Bobby Grant, they were badass fucking, they were badass guys, man. Not Plant, he's Mr. Softy, but
oh, Peter Grant, the road guy,
former wrestler.
Yeah.
And he had a couple guys working for him. They used to just boss people up. They don't like it. In hotels, he used to just beat the shit out of people in backstage. Whoever didn't like. I mean, it was insane what was going on with Zeppelin back in the 70s. Which is I hate to say but it was pretty interesting, you know? Nice. With Peter Grant, you know, he was out of his mind, that guy. So, and for some reason Jimmy Page loved him and always had him for the whole run, you know. And then John Bonham was a guy. He liked to beat people. He liked to throw punches too when he was drunk, which was very frequent. and then Page and John Paul Jones were the timid guys. Plant couldn't hurt a fly, and John Paul Jones just kept himself. You know, he was a quiet dude. But the other guys, they were characters, man. But I don't know about a Zeppelin thing, but I got to get some more Giant stuff. But Jerry, hold off in them Navis. But I like the Bobby Okereke. I like that.
Yeah.
And I like, who's the other one, Jerry, you thinking about?
Burns.
Oh, Brian Burns. By the way, funny guy, man. Actually, you know, now that we're back in the locker room, you could actually talk to these guys, you know.
Yeah, right.
Then at the podium, you ask them questions, and boom. Now you could actually stand. Brian Burns, man, funny freaking dude. Telling us a story today. Obviously, he's a Florida guy. He's not used to the area.
Oh, yeah.
And he's telling a story today about how he drove through the Lincoln Tunnel like three times because he got lost. Then he had to drive back to church. Then he drives back again because he thought he was going the right way. Next thing you know, he's in Manhattan again. And it was
That's a lot of tolls he paid.
Yeah, and it was funny because a guy, I think it was Paul Schwartz from the Post, did ask him, boy, that must have cost you a lot of money. Yeah. And Burns was like, no comment on that. Like, he couldn't believe. Right. You could tell his face, like, are they really charging these tolls up here? Are you people out of your minds up here charging these tolls? You know, but that's a whole other damn story, as we know.
Yeah.
You know, so pretty funny story for Brian Burns telling us today how he was getting lost going back and forth to Manhattan and Jersey through the Lincoln, man. He mentioned Spider. Funny story, Dan. So we asked him today, hey, you know, after he was finished, you know, talking, we got him on the side and like, Brian, so how do you like, you know, have you been to Manhattan? He goes, yeah, I scale the buildings every night. You like that? He loves the freaking Spider-Man nickname.
Nice.
He was having fun with it. Really good, you know, really good personality, Brian. Really, really smart guy. Really liked him. You know, we didn't get to know him, Jerry, because we haven't been in the locker room. So he always sees a few presses and he answers the questions and he moves on.
Right.
But now you see, now that you actually get there, you're talking to these guys. And I tell you, man, he's a funny dude, man. I really like Brian a lot, man. He liked the area. Bought a house up in Upper Saddle, you know, in Jersey, up in North Jersey. He really loves the area. So Zach, Kubis, the guard.
Yeah.
North Dakota kid. Talking to him today, you know, about the area, you know, the food and all that stuff. You know, it's so interesting talking to these guys that are from the other side of the country, Jerry, you know?
What's Italian to him, like Olive Garden?
I didn't get to that. He says he's just getting shuttled to his hotel and back, but now he's going to start looking for apartments. He has had the Jersey pizza, Jerry. A lot,
oh, nice. You know? There you go. Good.
And I said, how do you like the Jersey pizza? And he said, oh, it's out of this damn world. Because, you know, Jerry, I mean, the kid's from North Dakota. You think he's eating pizza? Anything good? He's probably eating a piece of cardboard with sauce on it over there in North Dakota. You know what I mean?
Right.
Now he comes to Jersey. He gets some of the best pizza in the damn world. These guys' eyes light up when you mention pizza to them, Jerry, that are from the other side of the country. So it's pretty funny.
So real quick. Jesus, Bill Hartnett, $10 for the decoration funding. Everyone can pitch in to make Chris's room less Taliban tunnel-like.
I'm getting there, Bill. I'm getting there. Look.
Thanks, Bill.
Nice. Look, Bill.
Nice. That's awesome.
You know?
Oh, my God.
So we're getting there. Good stuff.
Good stuff. All right. You want to real quick just touch on the next 10, and then we can wrap it up?
Yeah, we'll wrap it up.
Yep. All right. So I'm gonna read them off, right? Jimmy Patton, 20.
Hmm.
Ken Strong, 19. Now, I love that they put these two together. Mark Bavaro, 18. Carl Banks, 17.
Perfect. How about that, huh?
Perfect.
How about that?
Amani Toomer, 16. Tuffy Lehman's.
High, huh? Wow.
Well, yeah, that's why I went like this. Ooh, okay. Higher than Banks. Okay, sure. Tuffy Lehman's, 15. Tiki Barber 14.
Yeah, Tiki was great. Tiki had a great run.
Yes, he does. Charlie Connerly 13. Y.A. Tittle 12. Phil Sims 11.
Matches number.
That was the only one. And Chris, funny you said that. That was the only one I didn't get in the top 10. I did an article a couple weeks ago, and based on the ticket they give you with the season ticket rings, like that package, they have a commemorative ticket.
Yeah.
So you see the top 10 guys. So those are the guys that they, that's obviously the top 10. The difference with my list and that one was Huff and Phil Sims.
Gotcha. Oh, you had Sims in the top 10.
I had Sims ahead of Huff.
Number 11.
Yes. Gotcha. Yes. But I think, like you said, they put Sims at 11 and it's number 11. It works, but yeah. Hey, listen, it's not that hard to name the top 10, but I was psyched that I got 9 out of 10, right. Or very not good. Right. But same as the blue ribbon panel.
Very good.
So
very good.
Yes. John, absolutely. Andy Robustelli will be top 10. And no doubt. Oh my God. Yes.
Yep. Yes.
Sure.
Oh, boy, that's some great football plays there, huh, Jerry, as we get closer to number one.
Ridiculous. It's going to be interesting to see how they number them. I mean, we all know one.
Yeah, that we know. That we know.
The rest of them are up for debate. Every single one of them.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. I would imagine the Gifford, right? He hasn't been mentioned yet. He'll be in the top.
Yeah, three. Gifford, Robustelli.
Rosie Greer, right?
Yeah. No, Rosie Brown.
Rosie Brown.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too,
yeah.
Noreen. I didn't get mine either yet. I'm still like I'm running to the front door like it's a Christmas morning. I didn't get them yet either. I'm waiting.
Mm.
So yeah, good stuff, dude.
So again, next guys. Week we'll be lining up a guest, hopefully.
Yep.
Talk a little Giants preview.
Yes.
Just think about that, bro.
Nice, right? Nice.
Next week, Giants preview. Me and Jerry we'll line up a guest. Hopefully a guest comes on to talk about the Giants, what he thinks, the season, the team, the roster. And obviously me and Jerry, we will preview the Viking game. Can you imagine this, bro? We're going to preview the Viking game and all that and give predictions and all that stuff, right, for the Giants game.
So Dan's asking if we move to another day next week. No, it'll probably be Wednesday again, right? We think, right? As of right now.
Yeah. Wednesday. Yeah. Yeah. Right now, Wednesday, unless something comes up. Wednesday.
Yes, John Toronto sent the copy of the ticket. Yes, that's how I knew that. Yes, John. I couldn't remember who did. Thanks, buddy. But yeah, no, previewing the Vikings. Dude, we're here. It's here. It's literally here. Unbelievable.
Yeah. So should be a lot of fun as we get the season going. It felt like the season today, Jerry, because of the locker room.
Yeah.
We only watched the practice 15 minutes. You know, it was the regular season feel.
Yep.
You know, so it's here. Right, Labor Day is this weekend. Everybody enjoy Labor Day.
Yes.
Summer's is you know basically wrapping up.
Mm.
And then, you know, and obviously the football season. Notre Dame, Jerry Foley, I hope you're on board with this.
I will. Yes, sure. Yes.
I'm counting on you for a little support.
I will. I'll be watching.
As we play down in College Station, it's going to be a tough one against Texas A&M Saturday. I'm talking to Nick McLeod today about the Fighting Irish.
Yep.
And he told me they're going to win a national championship. I said, Nick, do me a favor. Are you smoking weed or what? Calm down. He goes, I'm telling you, we're going to win it. And the quarterback, Nick, told me that the transfer from Duke is phenomenal. That's what Nick told me. So I'm going to hold him up to that as I see him during the season. But Jerry, I hope you give me a little support. I hope you tune in Saturday night. The Fighting Irish against Texas A&M, the first game of the year.
No doubt.
Should be a good one, bro. So I think you'll be at the, you know, Texas A&M's a pretty good squad down there in College State.
I love Labor Day weekend for college football, dude.
I wish the game was in South Bend. I really do, but it's not. And hopefully the Irish get off to a great start. Now, for you college football fanatics, there's a ton of them that follow us. The good thing now in college football is if you lose that one game week one, your season's not done anymore. You could lose a couple of games now. Your season's not done. There's 12 games in the playoff, the whole act.
Yep.
And all that stuff. So, dude, I hope you tune in Jerry Saturday night. Check out the Irish. I am going to be pumped up for the first game of the year. So,
John Toronto is ready.
Dan, John is, what's that? I'm ready for the Irish. Good, John.
Ready
John,
for the Irish.
I just said, that's what Nick told me. McLeod, he told me today at his locker that this kid they got from Duke, the transfer, is really, really, really good. So, we'll find out starting Saturday. We'll see.
Good stuff. And Dan Mann, yes, we will go to 2 episodes per week after the Viking game, post game, and then pregame. So good stuff. All right, dude. Good luck this weekend, Chris. Good luck. And guys, thanks again for the donations, for chiming in, for the watching, for the thumbs up. We have 1,000 watching right now. It's unbelievable the support we get. And look, if the Giants do well, it's going to grow even more. That's how this works. So we know. So, all right, guys, Sundays are Giant days. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye, everybody.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.